This is the Orange County. Let's try that again. So I'm calling this meeting to order. This is Orange County Water District's monthly administration finance issues committee meeting. It is June 15, 12 noon. Let's get started. Can we please have a roll call?
Roll call, Director Yeo.
Present.
Director Nguyen. Director Amezcua. Director Meeks. Director Whitaker.
Here.
Director Rowe.
Here.
Director Bilodeau. Director Sheldon. Director Tran. Director Green. You do have a quorum.
Okay, thank you, Leticia. So do we have any items received too late to be agendized?
There are none.
Okay, thank you. Any visitors participation? I see only district staff, Bruce, Kat, and Mayho. Okay. So I have no visitor participation. Let's move on to our consent calendar, which consists of items 1 through 7. Anyone wish?
I'll second.
Okay. Thank you. We have motion from Director Kelly and seconded by Director Whitaker. Roll call.
Director Yeo?
Yes.
Director Rowe? I mean, Director Whitaker?
Aye.
Director Rowe?
Yes.
That motion carries 3-0.
Thank you.
Gets difficult.
Okay, moving swiftly, matter for consideration. Item number A is clear water quality software pilot. That I see Pat there. You're going to have a presentation?
Jason is going to give this presentation, Mr. Chair. Okay. And we thought this is kind of an informational item also for the committee, I think, aside from asking for a recommended action. And so Jason's going to go through and kind of explain what the software is all about and why it's important to the lab.
No. Okay. Hey, thanks, Mike. Good afternoon, Chair Yeo, members of the committee. Yeah, I want to take this opportunity to give an overview of this piece of software that we think could be a real asset, real tool for the district's water quality monitoring programs. So I'll first give you a little bit of background just about the water quality programs we manage them and how we do that today. Some of the challenges we're facing, largely driven by increasing workload for staff, and then how we think this software from Clear can help us manage those going forward. So we'll conclude with a recommendation to undertake a one-year pilot. So just a little background. It's a nice photo of our water quality department situated outside our laboratory. These folks are responsible for really planning, coordinating, implementing all the district's water quality monitoring programs. And these programs are both for regulatory compliance, whether that's for ourselves, the district, you know, operating a project like G3S, certainly we have monitoring and testing we have to do as required from the state. But also we provide a lot of compliance testing for the producers. At their wellhead for source water monitoring as required for drinking water, as well as now increasingly with the PFAS treatment systems, we provide the testing services for that as well. And then also other programs we use just at the kind of the district's discretion to monitor the quality of the basin, whether that's seawater intrusion, you know, the vicinity of North or South Basin projects, you know, the work we think we need to do to manage this. You know, this generates a number of water quality monitoring programs that are listed here. This is not the entire list, but certainly the most prominent ones. So as I mentioned, the Title 20 drinking water program, that's really what we do on behalf of the producers. We work very closely with them to generate the data they need to stay in compliance with the state. You see GWS listed here. Not only do we have to do testing, we have to do at the treatment plant here, but also in the groundwater basin. We have wells down gradient where we inject and recharge the water where the state requires us to monitor to assure quality. And then certainly, as you imagine, PFAS, right, is a big driver of the testing of the district and the monitoring programs we have, whether that's testing orders the producers have, increasingly operational monitoring for and compliance monitoring for those treatment systems we're putting in, and then generally our testing we do throughout the basin, and even places like Santa River really help us understand the sources, the extent.
That's a good question for this. On the basin wide private wells, how many are there in our district? I don't know.
It's a good question. Pat, how many wells do you guys test as part of that?
There's probably roughly 100 individual wells spread out the entire basin.
Well, spread out.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yep. Every corner of the basin, we have private wells kind of mixed around.
Okay. Thanks. Yeah. So this pie chart kind of describes the number of samples that are collected by capacity by the water quality group every year, approaching 15,000. You can see how those are broken up with various programs. And this doesn't include another few thousand that are collected by the operations team at Green RS that pushes this number closer to 20,000 overall. But you can see the breakdown here again, the producer's Title 22 drinking water program is probably the most significant one. GWRS right behind that. And then that PFAS wedge has slowly been growing over the last few years. So the challenges, what challenges are we facing to manage all this monitoring? So facing an increasing number of, more programs coming in that Pat and his team have to keep track of, more different sample locations as new monitoring wells come online, as these new treatment systems come online, more sites they have to manage. And these programs are getting more complex, right? The state's requirements are stricter. Certainly the PFAS treatment monitoring has a compliance component to it, right? The producers are required to test their quarterly for certain constituents, monthly for others. That all has to be kind of coordinated and managed so that nothing slips through the cracks there. And right now, the way we do the scheduling, tracking, reporting of all this monitoring and results is pretty labor intensive and it's pretty manual. It's not a really automated process. And so it requires a lot of just checking and rechecking of sampling and results coming in from laboratories and reporting to the producers. It's very manual process, very kind of spreadsheet driven, a lot of Excel work. And Panda's team are very good at that, but there's not a whole lot of automation, and that inevitably leads for the chance of just kind of mistakes, human error, just given the volume that they're dealing with. Whether that's just missing a sample, data entry error, there's bound to happen given the volume that's coming across their desks. This is just an example of kind of one tracking spreadsheet they use. This is for monitoring associated with GWRS. So you can see all the sites listed there on the left. And then the various other columns here, all the individual essentially tests that have to be run at these sites on either a quarterly or annual basis, whether that's down here near the seawater intrusion barrier, up in the Forbay in Anaheim, near our mid-basin injection project. And so each program has a very similar sheet like this that they maintain and update to really help them map out what the schedule needs to be across a given quarter or a given year. Here's an example specifically just for one well that's owned by the city of Anaheim, how they track what needs to be tested over the course of a year there. And you can see that at the bottom of the tabs for all of Anaheim's wells are there. So there's one of these essentially for each of the roughly 200 wells in the basin. Pat and his team have a sheet like this that they use to track, plan, and assure all these testing has to be done, whether it's annual tests, quarterly tests, some tests, I think, or even every 9 years. So again, pretty manual labor intensive process right now. So this is kind of their workflow, kind of the process of how the water quality manager manages their tasks. So that first part is really that planning and scheduling part of it, understanding what the requirements are, figuring out how to get those into a quarterly schedule, an annual schedule. And they seem to send their teams out to the field to actually collect the samples. And then they go to, primarily to our laboratory, but for some specialty analysis, we do use contract laboratories for those. For our laboratory, that information is entered into our LIMS database. That's a very lab-specific database they use to manage their entire workflow process. But eventually, all the data ends up in our water resource management system database, or RIMS database, that was developed here in the late 90s. Very useful system, still used today. You need to upgrade it and manage it. The IS team oversees that well for us. But in terms of some of these newer reviewing, reporting, and compliance obligations we have in this data, we feel like we need an additional tool there. So really what we're looking for is something here that can enhance kind of the front end of the process, that planning and scheduling part of it, as well as the back end of the process in terms of where the data goes, is it meeting all the proper metrics or compliance, and are we getting it to the people who need to get it in a timely manner? So in thinking about this, we looked at a number of, well, I guess first we even looked in-house. We want to say, hey, is there a way we can enhance our existing tools, or is our existing database reporting to this, and worked with Bruce Dozier and his team and IS on this last year for a few months, and kind of quickly we realized to get sort of the solution we would need to work for us, it was going to take a lot of in-house resources to do that. And we felt that we take a pause there and see, gosh, is there anything available in the commercial sector that's kind of already built that we could close enough to what we need? And then as a process, as part of that, Pat and his team looked at a number of options available from the commercial sector now. And pretty quickly through that vetting and especially talking to other agencies, we kind of got matched up with the folks at Clear. So let me tell you a little about their product.
Oh, I have a question. So water resources management system that was developed in the 90s, you couldn't tweak it to get to the features that you get through Clear?
We don't think so. Pat and Bruce, I don't know if you want to talk a little bit about the effort that was kind of put into that last year to do some of this and kind of where we ended up.
Right. We had some programmers in the IS group, and we did work with Pat and some of his staff in looking at how can we use RIMS, the water resource management system? How can we use data from that? How can we, and we pulled together a pilot, but for whatever reason, there were, you know, a bunch of things that just weren't working.
It's not web-based, for one thing, right?
We were not developing it to be web-based, that's correct, if I recall, right? But there's just the amount, the level of effort and the amount of work to go into it, we're probably better off seeing if there were, and for what it needs to do, better off seeing if there was something off the shelf,
okay,
rather than developing and maintaining it. We have a lot of other things that we develop in-house and maintain, but this was something that probably best to see, best of breed, what can, you know, function-driven approach here.
Yeah, right, your material, you've already had numerous other customers like us that have used it. Okay.
So what is Clear? They're a kind of a cloud-based software as a service company that really provides software that really is targeted at sample and compliance management for water quality monitoring programs. That's kind of the niche they've developed, really targeting utilities as their clients. Many of the products expand a little bit more at environmental health and safety, maybe that focused on stormwater or maybe a treatment plant. And we looked at those and didn't think any of those really fit our case of kind of the broader set of, we have a treatment plant here, we have ones for the producers coming online, we have the producers' wells, our wells. We need something a little bit broader than some of those are other offerings. And we think Clear can bring that to us. We think it'll enable staff to really more efficiently manage that sample scheduling at the front end of the process, automate some of the tracking through the process, linkages to the RIMS database, possibly even in the future, maybe our RIMS database, such that at a glance, you can know a sample is collected. It's at this point in the process. We can expect it to be reported in this amount of time and take some of the manual nature out of that. Check on compliance status, again, very, very quickly through some dashboards that I'll show. And also receive alerts for samples that, let's say, they either are missing and overdue or have exceeded maybe a compliance criteria that we need to be aware of or maybe make a producer aware of promptly. So this is just an example of one of Clear's dashboards. It's how we manage water quality tasks. So you could look at these over the course of various time intervals. So again, over the course of a year, right, you see, and broken into months, which tasks are completed, which are overdue. These can all be assigned to specific staff. So it's a way to wrap your arms around this workload that we think can work for us.
Well, here you can also maybe assign producers if they need to provide some input into this database.
I think that's an option. We could involve them into this workflow if that would be efficient. Yes. This is how we can see some of the water quality results at the end. Allow us to get a little bit of trending on them. See exceedances. I know one thing Pat and his team do is when the data comes out of the lab, they make sure that it kind of fits into the historical trend. And that's another check before the data is released to the public or the producers. making sure we'd have something as simple as maybe a bottomless label or something got, you know, misdone there. It's good to have these tools to be able to check that. Even if the lab quality control says, you know, their analysis is good, we want to make sure that, yes, this really matches what we've seen historically, but well, what we'd anticipate. More sample tracking here. Again, these can be assigned to folks, different people, and just making sure, again, where things are in the process. Even put a nexus of these with some of our permits. So a formal linkage and compliance is something you can also do with CLEAR as well. And then the scheduling I mentioned up front, you know, we can put in our sites, our frequencies, our requirements, and really have CLEAR help us build and maintain a schedule of testing across, you know, a week, a month, quarter, a year. And again, it can help us sort of automate this process but not be quite as spreadsheet driven. Yes. And then again, those alerts and warnings I mentioned before, we exceed you know, a limit that is pushing someone to non-compliance, or if a sample is overdue, we'll get automated alerts and not have to kind of always have a checklist to go back and check with the lab if something is overdue. So really the objective of trying to try this software out for years to improve the reliability and efficiency of our water quality monitoring, scheduling, tracking, reporting, and really kind of being pushed by that increasing workload. And so our thought is during this trial, with CLEAR, we would prioritize three programs. Our the Title 22 drinking water monitoring for the producers, it's a key program. You know, this software really needs to work for that. Some of the new treatment systems coming online for the producers, we want to make sure it's functional for that. And then our own permit compliance for monitoring we have for GWRS. In talking to Pat and his team, we think if the pilot can prove out on these three programs, it should be applicable to those other programs I showed initially.
And looking at the pie chart, these three kind of comprise at least half of the samples.
Yes. Yes, that's another reason. They're the three of the most prominent ones as well. So again, just to go back, I showed this before, our current workflow, we have kind of those two manual pain points, if you will, at the beginning. At the end of the process, we're really looking for CLEAR, hopefully, to come in and really bolster those and get those up to the level of efficiency we think we have in the other parts of the process now. And so just to close here, I did want to mention that there are other water utilities and agencies using CLEAR, you know, folks from Metropolitan to IDWP, to IRWD right here in Orange County, Santa Clarita Valley Water Agency as well. We've had a chance to talk to at least the California members of this group and had good conversations with them about their experience in CLEAR. I would say they've been uniformly positive. They've all had good experiences there. So it gives us some comfort that CLEAR will be good to work with. One thing, you know, at least one, multiple of these agencies have told us is that CLEAR is willing to work on them and sort of adapt the software and add enhancements to it to make it work better for them. CLEAR is kind of in that stage of their company, their development, that they're certainly open to doing that.
Jason, can we go back to the previous slide, please?
Sure.
So yeah, just looking at this, trying to understand it, is the software trying to integrate the existing process that we have and trying to better it, or it's not replacing the things in the middle, right?
There we go. Yeah, it's the former. We think, and this is one of the strengths of CLEAR, that we think it can integrate well with our existing systems, again, at the front and the back of our process. It's a read-only type of system. So to the extent it'll interface with the existing RIMS database, it'll sort of take a copy of that information out, but won't write anything back to it. And so we still preserve the integrity of our current databases with this.
Got it. So it helps with the scheduling and planning and also reviewing, interpreting the results, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
And thank you. My experience on similar databases is that it's every time you open up this application on your computer or laptop, it will tell you, hey, you have some things that you have to do. And it has a schedule for things, and the supervisor basically is tracking who's getting assigned what, and he's also responsible to see that this person is actually being responsive to requests for services.
And you talk about workflow automation, right?
Right.
Workflow automation, okay.
That's good.
Does it do that? Does it do workflow automation, or that's still within our existing process there from fuel sample collection to the WRMS database?
Yeah, certainly. I think the first and last parts highlighted here, we would look for some automation there. We believe that the software can provide us that. But yeah, we wouldn't necessarily touch the internal processes as far as we know. Again, we'll learn more as we go through the pilot, but it's really targeted at again, the front end and the back end. And it does bring some automation.
Okay. Thank you.
Stop using Excel spreadsheets for a while.
Hopefully. Or at least reduce it. You know, there obviously you need people involved to oversee this and check it, but yeah. We think this will really help with some efficiencies with our staff and allow them to sort of handle
it. I think so too.
Yeah.
But who would be responsible for this? Our staff? Would it be Pat or somebody assigned?
Yeah, so Pat's kind of the lead in terms of CLEAR right now for sort of overseeing the pilot and getting his staff on board and kind of a training with it. But then folks from Bruce's team are on board to make sure we've done some preliminary vetting of this, that the interface with RIMS is clean and efficient and set up there.
Data.
Yeah.
Ingestion of data from RIMS.
Sometimes right. These can be steep learning curves. And if CLEAR can be available, I just saw about software, not necessarily about support. Are they going to provide support?
Yeah. So we have a relationship manager and a person that's really responsible for implementation. We have a single point of contact there. So we've met with some of the senior folks at CLEAR. So we think we'll get good support. Again, based on our discussions with other agencies, CLEAR is pretty responsive. We think CLEAR is pretty invested in wanting this to succeed, right? I mean, obviously, it would like us to become a long term user and subscribe for additional years, right? Beyond the first year. So every indication we've got is they're very motivated to work with us.
Okay, well, you got some experience under the belt. I think that's good. Every organization has their own way of doing things. Yeah, so I recommend forward with this that we get the input from the people using it, say, you know, like a complaint box or some suggestion, and see if it's probably if somebody has a problem with it, other people have the same problem, we get it fixed sooner than later. Yeah, it was a part of it making it better, smoother. It's script again.
We can certainly do that externally with those other agencies, but I think even, yeah, a prime part of this is Pat coordinating the feedback with his team and providing that to CLEAR about how the implementation goes.
I'm a believer in this and not reinventing the wheel. In the past, in a different industry, we had our own customer's computer system, and we thought we were different than everybody else. But if someone has obtained something that really applies more universally, and we joined a users group with it as well, it took a lot of headaches off of us because a customized system just tends to grow more and more tentacles out there. It becomes almost unmanageable at some point. So systems like this that manage by exception for the most part, as our volume is increasing and allows us to just pay attention to what we need to pay attention to, I think it makes perfect sense. You know, it could be a lot worse if this state didn't work to simplify and streamline the requirements that they impose on us, right?
So true.
Yeah. He sounds facetious.
Okay, thank you, Director Rowe and Director Whitaker's comments. So Jason, it looks like we have a recommendation here.
We have Director Bilodeau has a comment.
Oh, okay. Sitting way in the back. Yes, Director Bilodeau.
I just have a question. I apologize, I missed the very start of the conversation, but why CLEAR? I mean, is it, we haven't put on RFP, right? And there are several companies that provide solutions for this. I think about where I work, they've switched the whole system over to like a Salesforce platform.
Mm.
And there's no more paper submittals for anything. If you want to get a permit, it's all got to be electronically. Now the county's married to Salesforce, pays them millions of dollars every year.
Yeah.
And they have all the data on the cloud and they're never going to get away from Salesforce. They're locked in for in perpetuity with them. So this looks like a similar kind of a marriage of sorts. And CLEAR obviously is, I just looked at their website. They're kind of a micro company. So just curious why them instead of other maybe software providers.
Sure. Sure. Good question. Yeah, we looked at a few other ones. There's a company called Mapistry, which does something kind of similar. Again, we thought, we mentioned this beginning, we think they're more into like the environmental health and safety space, maybe like a stormwater piece. We could try to apply that to us. It just didn't seem like a great marriage of capabilities. Esri, the company we use for our GIS, offers something kind of akin to this that's strong on mapping and visualization, but doesn't really have like the tracking and scheduling capabilities that, the water quality team needs. And then there was another one we looked at. It was, again, sort of more kind of a treatment plant. So you get a plant, seemed to work for that, but given our multiple sites and wells scattered everywhere throughout the basin, we thought it's somewhat limiting there. So while we didn't solicit formal proposals from these other options, we did kind of sit through demos and talk to them and try to get a little feedback on them. And just through that kind of vetting process, clear emerged is we thought the best option.
So Dennis, the county has always invested massively in IT. Right. So they haven't broken that path, it sounds like this.
No.
Not at all.
Okay, that's all. Thank you for the explanation.
Okay, Director Billiger, thank you for the question. And Jason, if you would go back to the previous slide that I think perhaps part of the decision has to do with these large, reputable organizations that are already using it, right? Or they're piloting something similar as well.
That's certainly Cup Guide staff's thoughts on this and the recommendation. Yeah, you know, if we were the first, we might be a little more nervous about it, but the fact that these other folks have had success, we've spoken to them and uniformly spoken highly of their experience and clear, that gives us some confidence.
Yeah, and to Director Rose and Director Whitaker's points earlier that when we're doing our pilot, obviously we'll be sharing our experience and reaching out to these agencies, right, to see their best practices and how we can incorporate them into our process as well, right?
Absolutely.
I'm imagining. Okay. Okay, the recommendation.
The recommendation is for a one-year pilot clear that would start in the new fiscal year. This project's budgeted for next fiscal year. Really put this offer through its paces.
And Director Rowe was ready to make a motion.
Go for it. Okay. I'll second.
Okay, so we have a motion from Director Rowe, seconded by Director Whitaker. And before we vote, I just have one final question is that earlier, the question was related to once we start using this, and obviously we probably will stay with them for a long time if it works out for us. And what are we looking at, like the annual licensing fee or user fee? Not that it's going to, you know, affect our decision here.
Right. We'll have to see. I know we're able to negotiate and pick a lower pilot fee from Clear compared to the initial offer they gave us. I think. That'll correct me, but I think their initial offer was for maybe only a 6-month pilot, roughly double the cost that's presented here today. And we were able to talk a little bit and kind of get them down to the number you see here, just under $50,000. In terms of what the long-term fee will be, we'll kind of have to see. I think one benefit we have is given the other agencies that have adopted Clear, I'm talking to them, and we certainly, you know, can find out what they're paying for the service. And so you should kind of know, you know, if we're getting the market rate or not, and certainly would include that in any future recommendation to the committee.
Okay, so it's negotiable, and certainly I think this is a great investment for helping the staff with easing some of those complexity issues you have to deal with in reporting and capturing all this data. So, okay, thank you. Let's vote. Roll call, please.
Sorry. Roll call, Director Yeo.
Yes.
Director Whitaker.
Aye.
Director Rowe?
Yes.
Director Billiteau?
Yes.
That motion carries 4-0.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you, Jason. Let's move on to the next item. See my agenda disappear. Now the picture is occupying my entire screen. How do I get out of it? I know it's item number 9. Give me a second. Let me get to that. Item number 9. Okay, pre-audit meeting with auditors for compliance with auditing standards for GASPE. Randy.
Yes. So in compliance with auditing standard number 114, it provides a framework for effective communication between the auditors and their client in relationship to a financial audit. And in compliance with that, a requirement is that the auditors meet one-on-one with a select group in the finance committee, 2 to 3 members. And you can meet in a private meeting prior to the start of the audit at the conclusion of the admin finance meeting in August. So with that, staff's recommendation is that 2 to 3 interested directors attend a pre-audit meeting one-on-one with the auditors at the conclusion of the August admin finance committee meeting.
Roger and I did this last year.
Yeah, thank you, Randy. And it looks like there are 4 of us. Are you volunteering this year, Director Rowe?
Sure. I've heard the same story every time.
And since there are only 4 of us, I'll volunteer myself unless Bruce.
Well, there's 5 of us, really, but I won't volunteer.
Yes. Madam Mayor, would you be interested in?
No, I can. I think it's great, the recommendation you made.
Okay, my apologies. I did not see you there virtually. Okay. So, Randy, it looks like it's going to be me and Director Rowe again. And so the agenda is that the 2 of us would be on the pre-audit meeting, would be in a pre-audit meeting in August, right after the admin finance meeting. So we're going to vote on this, right? So yes, roll call, please.
I'll
do a motion. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. So out of order here. Can I have a motion?
Motion and a second.
Yeah. Okay. Director, so Director, you got that, right? Okay. That's vote.
Roll call, Director Yeo.
Yes.
Director Whitaker.
Aye.
Director Rowe.
Yes.
Director Bilodeau.
Yes.
That motion carries 4-0.
5-0 or 4-0? We have Director Amesqua.
She's out of pocket.
Oh.
I'm out of pocket. But I wanted to join all of you.
You have
That's
a
how
very
committed
nice
I am.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. So the motion passes 4-0. Thank you. We'll go on to the next item. That's the monthly cash disbursements report.
The information is contained in the packet, Mr. Chair.
Okay, very well. Okay, so I think it's appropriate for us to put everything on the consent calendar for the June 21st board meeting. Okay, so that's order. And any directors' announcements or reports? Seeing and hearing none, General Manager?
Nothing to report.
Okay, thank you. We're adjourned. And enjoy your lunch.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So by the way, I'm going to be out of country, so I will probably miss most of the meetings until latter part of July. So I'll work that out with the district secretary. Secretary. Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Thanks.